It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Back in 1984, Denise Williams topped the charts. Former backup singer for Stevie Wonder, breaking out with the number one hit from the Footloose soundtrack, Let's Hear It for the Boy. Spent 2 weeks at number one, and it started on this day back in 1984. If you're keeping track at home, 39 years ago today. Lee Williams with us, also known as the Gun Writer. Find more at saf.org, Second Amendment Foundation. Lee, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
My boy.
Chief Editor, too, of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project. Here in Michigan, Lee, we have a new law signed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer, the so-called Red Flag Law. People probably have read a bit about this, but it's also been happening in other states as well. What does red flag laws, I'm sure they vary slightly from state to state, but generally what do they allow and why have they become a popular vehicle in some of these states?
Well, they allow someone other than yourself to say that you are a danger to yourself or others. They'll go to a court, they'll petition the court, and you'll know about it when law enforcement shows up at your door with a court order to take your guns. Unfortunately, there's no due process, and therein lies the problem. If somebody actually suspects that somebody is a danger to himself or others, of course, they shouldn't have firearms, but in a perfect world, they would take that person to court. That person would have a chance to defend themselves in front of the judge and argue, whether or not they are a danger. But these red flag laws, also called ERPOs for extreme risk protection orders, the whole thing takes place without the subject's knowledge. So that's the big issue, is that there is no due process.
What is the process after the fact? Someone goes and says this person's a danger, police come, weapons taken away. What happens from that point forward?
Well, that varies from state to state, but here in Florida we have them. And you basically have 2 weeks to get to court, to get to a judge, and to respond to the allegations. Now, unfortunately, I would love to tell you that these things work, but there's this whole revenge aspect of it. Somebody has an ex-spouse, an ex-girlfriend, an ex-business partner. Those people can go, depending on what state you live in, and petition the court, and the next thing you know, your guns are gone. Now, we know the Supreme Court justices have hinted that they find these red flag laws unconstitutional. There was a case, Coniglia versus Strom. It was a unanimous decision. It wasn't a red flag law, but it was close. Mr. Coniglia got in an argument with his wife. Police came. He agreed to go get a psychological review. The doctor found that he was fine. When he got home, he found that police had entered his home, his castle, without any search warrant and seized all his firearms. Now, in that case, Justice Thomas, writing for the court, basically said this was an overt violation of the Fourth Amendment, and it was obviously unconstitutional. They said in their decision, they're very careful. They said this is not a red flag law case, but, you know, red flags are very similar to what's going on here, and at some point they're going to rule on them. And there's no doubt it's going to be found unconstitutional, violation of the Fourth, probably the Fifth Amendment. I look at the one that your governor signed. We're seeing a lot of anti-gun activity lately. Mm-hmm. We call these Bruin tantrum laws because they're all coming after the Supreme Court's Bruin decision, which said the individual has a right to carry a firearm and that firearms in common usage cannot be banned.
Talking with Lee Williams, he's the chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project, more at saf.org. Is there any data? It might be hard to get this. Data, evidence, can anyone sort of say, look, we're passing these laws because they're effective. They actually are stopping bad things from happening. Do we have any evidence to that point?
Not really. I kind of wish we did or didn't. I know here in my county, I live in Sarasota County, Florida. We have a very good sheriff who's a very good supporter of all constitutional rights, including the Second Amendment. They'll use these, but sparingly. And usually when they're using them, they've got an individual who's facing criminal charges or has some severe mental health issues. So it's kind of after the fact. I have not seen any studies nationwide that show these work. But what I have seen is a lot of lawyers saying that these are unconstitutional. because of that lack of due process.
Mm-hmm. You can find out more at saf.org, saf.org. You mentioned you think that when this makes it up to the Supreme Court, there likely will be a decision finding this unconstitutional. Is there sort of a backup plan for red flag law supporters? Can they amend these laws, adjust them in a way that perhaps would stand up to Second Amendment scrutiny?
Well, the only way is to contest them in court, and I urge someone, if they have been falsely red flagged, that is what you need to do. Because, you know, anytime you have human beings involved, right now, family members, police, mental health professionals, and then parties close to the subject can petition a judge to remove firearms. And therein lies the danger, the whole revenge aspect. Next thing you know, your guns are gone. You cannot resist a red flag law. If you do, you can be arrested. By the time you find out about it, when the police are at your door, you're done. You have to comply. Or, unfortunately, you know, they're going to take some law enforcement action.
Lee Williams, check him out at saf.org. That's the Second Amendment Foundation's website. He's the chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project. Lee, thanks so much for taking some time this morning with us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Anytime. Thank you for the invitation.
Appreciate it. That's Lee Williams. This portion of the Steve Gruber Show is brought to you by Wolverine Water, Michigan's premier water treatment company. Wolverine's been locally owned and operated for nearly 75 years. Michigan people giving you the best water of your life. So check them out and the whole team at WolverineWaterSystems.com. That's WolverineWaterSystems.com. Hour three will bring the Michigan Chamber and Tyson Langhofer from the Alliance Defending Freedom. I think Steve's talked about this week, but this lawsuit the ADF has filed against Michigan State University and the actions of one of their professors. We'll talk about that coming up in hour three. Scott Bertram in for Steve.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Peppers from Argentina, blueberries from Canada, and corn from Mexico. What are we doing? It's time to wake up, America, support our family farmers, and defend our nation against an invasion of foreign food. It's time you support Patriot Foods. Patriot Foods is an American-only produce brand supporting U.S. farms and donating a portion of every purchase to U.S. veterans. Join the movement to buy American and eat American. Go to patriotfoods.com. Patriot Foods will even ship your order for free. patriotfoods.com. PatriotFoods.com.